right. We got a good word for you guys this morning. How many of you guys have been enjoying the Skeptics Welcome Series? Like three of y'all? Okay. I've been enjoying it. The Skeptic Series is such a powerful series because it's asking and answering some really tough questions about the Bible, about God, that many people have had. And so today we're going to continue in that series. We're going to be talking today about, is there really a God? Is Jesus the only way to heaven and to God? But we have a special guest for you today. She is probably the hardest working person in this church, honestly. She is constantly at this church, always here. And then this morning, she had to get up early to lead worship and then get ready to bring a board to you today. So would you guys do me a favor, put your hands together, and welcome our very own Jewel Caceres as she comes and brings the word.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church. Hi. How's everybody doing? Are you excited? Can we get excited? Are you blessed and highly favored? All right. Sorry, I'm very energetic and, you know, I don't want to feel like we're going to sleep in church, so I'm going to have y'all talk back to me a lot, okay? We went from like 20 to 10 to now. Can y'all talk back to me this morning? All right. All right. Have y'all been enjoying this series, the Skeptics Welcome Series? Those of you who've heard it, oh my goodness. I need y'all to help me this morning. All right. Are you learning now how to respond to these tough questions? I mean, has it have been helpful? Okay. Well, I'm particularly excited for our next set of questions I'm going to speak to you guys about today. I used to struggle with the answers to these. It's funny because you're a Christian and you believe God. But then when people are coming across your path, you're like, well, I'm not sure how to answer your question. Like, how do I know God is real? I didn't know how to answer that back then. But today we have some answers for you. And I hope to help you with that. So first question is, how do I know if God is real? If he is, how do I know he's really there? And the second part to that question is, Jesus the only way? So let's get our Bibles and stand up for the reading of the word. We want to turn to Genesis 1:1. It should take you like 5 seconds to find that. Genesis 1:1. And we're going to do our Bible affirmation, okay? Everybody ready? All right. Let's hold our Bibles up in the air or your electronic device, and let's say our Bible affirmation. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Genesis 1:1. Let's read together. Ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's pray. Father God, creator of all heaven, all of earth, the only wise God, the almighty God, our Father, our friend, our counselor, our salvation, our redemption, you are everything, God. Lord, I pray in this house today you would open eyes to see what naturally we can't see. But Lord, you are here. You are there. You are everywhere. Have your way in this place today. Command fear to go. I command confusion to go now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, eyes open. Blindness, go now in the name of Jesus. Have your way in this place today. I get out the way, Lord. You have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You can take your seats. So the scripture was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want to begin with the first question. How do I know if God is real? If he is, how do I know he's really there? So I want everybody to do me a favor. Everybody, inhale. Take a deep breath in. Now exhale. Good, one more time. Inhale for me. And exhale. So we just breathe in some air, right? Can you see the air? No. Can't see the air, but how do you know the air is there? Is it real? Yeah, the air is real. Why? Because you wouldn't be able to talk back to me. You'd be dead, right? If you didn't have air, right? Isn't it interesting? The very thing we need to live, we cannot physically see. But we can experience the effects of it in the natural. I want to take another thing that we're familiar with. Anybody got water? Don't make fun of the way I say it, please. I'm from New York. It comes out. I'm sorry. water, yes. Science tells us that two hydrogen gas molecules and one oxygen gas molecule combined together create what's in that bottle you have in front of you, right? It creates water. Can we see hydrogen or oxygen? No. We got gases all in the air right now. Can you see it? No. But again, it's something we need in order to live and exist. You cannot live as a human more than 7 days without water. Did you know that? What's holding you down? In other words, what's keeping you from floating up in the air? I know y'all got serious. Y'all were like, what? What's holding me down? The man did it. The man. It's not the man. We're not talking about him today. We're talking about what's actually holding you down. What's that pressure holding you down? What's it called? Gravity. Can you see it? How do you know it's there? Because you're not floating. Exactly. We see our astronauts floating in space, right? So there's no gravity up there, but on this earth, we have gravity. Isn't that amazing? All this stuff we cannot see. There's a lot of other things that we cannot see, like electrons and neutrons and atoms. I know I sound like a science teacher today. I'm really not. But I want you guys to understand that the things that you cannot see have such an impact in your life, in your everyday, all around you. The things that you cannot see, the unseen, it's huge what it does. So, as our pastor talked about last week, science only confirms what already is. The facts with reproducible evidence. So how does that help us know if God is real or not? Let's go back to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it starts off with the book of Genesis. Let's just start there. The book of Genesis, Genesis means the beginning, origin, the root, or the source. So we're starting off the Bible letting you know what the origin and the beginning is. And the first verse says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But I just want to focus on first on the first four words. Can y'all say that with me, the first four words? In the beginning, God. One more time. In the beginning, God. It's letting us know in the beginning, God was already there. You don't see any backstory about God, how he got there, anything. It just already starts talking about God. And then it proceeds to tell us what God is doing or what he has done, which tells us he was there before even that was happening. Before you were born, he was there. Before your story started rolling out, he was there. And he will be there well after us. He is eternal God. He is almighty God. He has always been there. You think, oh, that situation I'm going through is too hard for God. But he has been there. He saw it already. He's been there already. All before you even knew it. Isn't that amazing? So, God created the heavens and the earth. Can anyone see him? Can you see him though? If we reword this scripture a little bit, this is how I would reword it. I would say, in the beginning, God, I would change that to the unseen. In the beginning, the unseen created what is now seen. He's trying to help us to see his existence. Even though we can't see him, he wants us to see him all around us. All around us. Well, how does he do that? How did he create everything that he made? How did he create the heavens and the earth? Genesis, that whole first chapter talks about how he created the light first and the firmament and the waters and the dry land and the seas and the earth, the grass and the earth. You know how he did it? He spoke the word. He spoke it. In verse 3, he said, "Let there be light." And the Bible says, "And there was light." Can you see words? Can you see, well, if it's written down, yes. Type up on the screen right now, yes. But do you see the words coming out of my mouth? If you catch that, that's rush hour. Do you understand the words that are coming out? Okay, I'm sorry. But do you see the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you see the words when you're having a conversation with someone? How are you coming out when you talk? You don't see it, right? No. But those words have power, have impact. And look at what happened. When he spoke, things came to be. Wow. Can we get excited about that? When he spoke, things came to be. They happened. All this you see around you is because he spoke it. You are seeing the literal word of God all over this place, all over the earth. You're standing on his earth that he spoke into existence. He even spoke about us. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." And then what happened? He made man. All by a word. All by a word. You know, words have power. You may think that words you speak really don't. Well, how many, you know, when you were a kid, as a little kid, you know, somebody, you know, hurt your little feelings and you got hurt and you got burned, but you try to act like you didn't, you know, you weren't affected by it. So you say this thing we always say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me." Anybody ever said that as a kid? Because we're trying to disguise the hurt that we really feel, and we go home and we're just crying. "Oh, I can't believe they said that about me. I know I'm short. You know, you have to tell me." I'm sorry. I do. I know I'm short. Lies, though. Words do hurt us, right? Yeah. I am short. But it's lies when we say that saying, you know, act like words don't hurt us. Shoot, words sometimes cut more than the sticks and stones. They cut deep. That's sometimes why we have problems forgiving people. Okay, we'll leave that alone. Right? Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Right? So, why is this important? Because there is power in what is spoken. When we look at all creation, we see the power of God, the spoken word of God. It just, boom, things move and went into motion and became what he spoke. Call those things that are not as though they are. Your words have power. So let's get to us. As humans, how do we generally determine who or what is real? We see. What are we seeing? Like if I say, I'm going to do such and such a thing. You would expect me to do what I say, right? Then I know how real you are, right? So when we look at God's word, we can see that what he has said has happened. It's done. He spoke, let there be light, and look around you. He said, let there be a firmament. That's the expanse, the division. You see a heaven and you see an earth. You see that sky out there? He said, let the dry land appear. And he put a border, a barrier for the seas. He called the waters seas and he called the land earth. What planet y'all live on? Uh-huh. And we have oceans and seas all around, right? Did he not do what he said? Come on. So we have confidence in knowing that whatever God has spoken will happen in our lives as well. In any situation that you're facing, when you speak God's word, guess what's going to happen? His word's going to happen. When we're speaking just to talk and not speaking the word of God, there's a difference. There's still power in what you're saying. But sometimes we could be tearing down the situation rather than putting God's word on it. What does God say about that situation? I want to see him, his will done, his power in the situation. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do? Won't he do it? Won't he do what he said? Won't he do what he said? Do you believe him and what he says? He's going to do exactly what he says. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and so not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. His word is faithful and true. So I want to move to question number two. And I want to talk about this other question. Is Jesus the only way? I say, what does that have to do with what we were just talking about, the word? Well, let's go back to the beginning. Let's start with John 1:1. Isn't that interesting? In the Old Testament, we have in the beginning scripture, and then in the New Testament, we have one more. John 1:1 and John 1:14a. Start with John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14a says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus was there from the very beginning. He was that Word, the Word that was spoken. And the Bible says he was God. And then God became flesh and dwelt among us. We'll talk about that a little more. Can we look at Colossians 1:15-16? I'm sorry if I'm going fast and I've got a lot of scripture. But Colossians 1:15-16 talks about how Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him and for him. And if you've been in OSL, you know we are his daily delight. He made us too, remember? We are his daily delight. And Jesus became us. He was 100% God. And he was 100% man. So this word that was spoken was God, and now he became flesh. He came here on earth. Tell me my God is not real. He came to be one of us. Again, the Noah self, Pastor Jerry would say, who wants to become, who has dogs as pets? One of us. Okay. Would you become your dog? Do you love him that much that you would become a dog? No. See? No. But Jesus loved us so much that he became us. He became one of us. So, well, why did he come? Why did he show up here? Because after the earth was created and we got created, God gave us the earth and said, all right, all this is for you. Go be fruitful and multiply. And then there's this tree knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch it. Do not eat. Excuse me. That's wrong. That's what Eve said. He said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve said, don't touch it. But she touched it. She ate the fruit of it. And when she ate the fruit of it, what happened? Sin entered into the world. You know what's funny? You can't see sin either. You have to act it out. And you see the effects of it, right? So now that comes into the world, and it breaks this fellowship that we had with God. See, he was walking with Adam and Eve. He was one-on-one with them all the time. Relationship, that's something you can't also fit. You have to actually act out and do, activate. So there was a bond between them. And when sin entered in, it got broken. It was a separation. But at that time, God said, I'm sending my son. I have a seed. And her seed is going to defeat your seed, talking to the enemy, talking to Satan. It's going to crush your head. You're going to bruise his heel. From right there in Genesis, in the beginning, he already prophesied our rescue, our redemption, our salvation, right back there. That's his word to play again. So now fast forward up to New Testament, Jesus comes. And I want to show you how God's showing his love for us. That's another thing that's unseen. Can you see love? You can feel the feelings. You can feel the effects of it. But you can't see love. Let's look at 1 John 4:7-9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. Manifested there means made visible. We couldn't see it. But now it's been made visible toward us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I want to go and look at what this love looked like. The love that Jesus brought is unlike any other. Can I ask you something? Can you see pressure or stress? But you could feel it, right? When it's weighing you down, like down to here, and you're really still standing up, but you just feel so heavy. Can you see it? Somebody says, I'm just stressed out. Do you see something like sitting on top of them? I love the picture. They have the man holding the globe over his head like this. You know, trying to hold the whole world, trying to do it all. But we can't see it. I want to look at Isaiah 53:3. to see the love that God was showing. He made visible by sending his son. Again, Jesus, 100% God, but also 100% man, to do something no one else could possibly do. Isaiah 53:3-5 says, he is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. This is love right here. It says we rejected him. He was a man of many sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet we hid from him and he still kept going. When he was going on that path to the cross, he started off in a garden, sweating blood, crying out to Father, Father, is there any other way? That's that 100% man that just came out. This is hard, God. Is there any other way? I know you can do it. There's nothing impossible for you. That's what your word says. He's trying to get a way out. Not my will, but your will be done. That's love right there. That's the love of God right there. And while we rejected him, he pushed on in love. The pressure on him, the weight of the burden for his people weighed on him. He was beaten. He was bruised. Bible says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 4, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Love paid a price. He showed this love. The pressure that was on him. We can't see. But Jesus became us when he got on that cross. You didn't see yourself up there, but he saw you up there. And he stretched out wide. He took every lash because he saw your future. He wanted you to have life. He wanted you to know him. He wanted you to see everything he created just for you. He wanted you to see the unseen, this crazy love he's got for you. I feel like God just wants you to know his love. The world sends out so many messages of confusion and gets us distracted. That's the enemy. You can't see him either. He doesn't want you to see him. He doesn't want you to see God. But take a look all around you. God made us in his image. You're looking at an image of him. You reflect his glory. You reflect him. He loves you so much that he would take it all. He would take it all for you. On that cross. And though people can't see love, they see him torn up, murdered and beat up. They couldn't see. His own people couldn't see who he was right there in front of them. But he had love in the face of all the hatred. My God is real. So that's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. Because what he did now put us on the pathway back to our Father. What he did brought us back into relationship. What he did broke the handle of the law on us and issued in grace. It issued in things you can't see. Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way. the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. What comes from what Jesus did for us are still things that we can't see, but change us completely, such as salvation, mercy, joy, peace, freedom, forgiveness, grace, relationship, and fellowship with the Father is what we get now. So how do you know he's really there? How do you know he's really there? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer, and I will show you great and unsearchable things which you do not know. Sometimes we kind of put the onus on God, like it's his job to show us who he is. I don't know if God's real. I prayed, he didn't answer, so. And I'm going to move on. We don't really try to go in. But today, I want us to ask him if he's really there and to help us see him, to open our eyes to see who he is, to know the love of God like never before, to worship like never before. Worship isn't music, you guys. I know you see us up here every Sunday. It's the worship team. But worship is our response to him. Look at everything he's done. Look at what he's shown you all around. It's his word, and we know if you do what you say, I can trust you. You're real to me. So what is our response back to him? I trust you, God. I love you, God. I don't want what the world is showing me. I want whatever you got for me, God. You're so good. I'm just going to read verse 20. It says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. His invisible attributes, those are characteristics. They are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. From the time of creation, we can see God as faithful. He's eternal. He's holy. That means there's no other like him. And that's just a few of his attributes. He is good. Come on. He is good. He's not trying to hide from us, you guys. He's saying, look at me. I'm everywhere. And he's looking for us. He's looking for us to respond to him. The Bible says God is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. Everything he's made, the one thing he doesn't have is worshipers. Not worship. He's got worship from the angels. But he doesn't have worshipers. And we get to be those worshipers, to acknowledge who he is, to recognize him for his greatness and his goodness and his glory, to reflect him all over the earth. So, to ask such a question of if he is there, how do I know he's really there? It causes us to be put in a position and posture to allow God to show himself mightily in our lives. Worship goes to a new level. Vision becomes clearer. Our trust is directed toward God, no longer to man or things or idols, to see you through. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is acquired through hearing, though. And hearing what? The word of God. Are you hearing it today? Are you hearing him speak all around you? Can you see him today? Can you see him all around you? His word is all around you. God, we can't deny you today. I pray right now that you would open eyes to see you. Help us to see the unseen in what is seen today, God. I thank you for making all of this for us. I thank you for thinking of us when we may think, I don't know if God knows me. Oh, he knows you. I thank you for your mighty work that you have done. And most of all, we thank you for your son, the word, the promise that you gave from the beginning. That today I can stand and have life more abundantly because of what he did on that cross. We have life. We have salvation. We have freedom in you, God. Everything we need, we can come to you. And you be our Father. You've restored relationship. Thank you, Jesus. So what I want you to do today, I want you to fix your eyes on what is unseen and not what is seen. Fix your eyes and fix your ears on the Word of God. Fix your heart on Jesus, for he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Because he is real. He's made all of this for you because he loves you. Thank you.
Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. Pretty powerful when you think about all the things that we believe in that are not seen. And yet when it comes to God, we have such a hard time believing that he really does exist. If you ask me, it seems like God has done everything possible to prove to you that he is. And now the question is, what will you choose to believe? If you're here today, everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and maybe you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, you've never even acknowledged that God was real, or maybe you have, but you feel like, man, I want to get closer to this God. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I'm ready. I want to get to know this God who loves me like this, and this Jesus who has died for me. I'm ready to say that I believe him, and I'm ready to take a step to get to know him. If that's you, would you just slip your hand in the air? It doesn't even have to be high. Just be shoulder level. Slip your hand in the air. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're here today and you're saying, hey, you know what? I already know this God. I already know who he is, but maybe I haven't been living the way that I know he wants me to. And you want to give him an opportunity to say, okay, God, I'm ready to go in a real relationship with you. I'm ready to try this thing again. If that's you, I want you to just slip your hand in the air. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. We got hands all over the building. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For every hand that's lifted, I want you to, just everybody in this room, let's just make a recommitment to God all over again. But let's all say this, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. God, I believe in you. I believe in what I do not see. And I thank you that you love me just the way that I am. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. Now, God, I come to you. And I want to recommit my life to you. This time, I'm serious. I want to go all in. I want to get to know you better. And Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to see you work. I'm calling out to you to show me some great and unsearchable things that I do not know. Lord, help me to hear your voice. And help me to obey you like never before, in Jesus' name. Somebody just begin the Lord a hand, begin to give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, if you raised your hand and prayed that prayer today, we've got some prayer team counselors that are coming up. Come on up. Our counselors are coming up. They're here to pray with you individually, maybe to talk to you a little bit more about the decision that you've made or to help you with your recommitment and your affirmation with God. Who else is our part of our prayer team coming up? At the end of service, you can please see them. They would love to pray with you. I'm so grateful that you guys are here today. Shadon, good to see you back from Brazil. She just went on her missions trip. Can't wait to hear how that went. We praise the Lord. And we encourage you this week to tell somebody else about what you learned today. It's a powerful message. I think it's as clear as it can get that God really is real. And so I declare that God's going to bring somebody in your life who's going to challenge you this week on your doctrine and on your theology about whether God is real. And I declare that you are well equipped. Somebody say amen. You are well equipped to share what God has already placed in your heart. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. Don't forget, if you have raised your hand, you want to make a recommitment to Christ, our prayer team is here. Also, don't forget, next Saturday, we are having our moving party here at 8 a.m. And also, if you would like to help us coordinate our painting effort, you can also see Jonathan. He's right here. All right. When people ask how you're doing, what's your response going to be? Amen. Miss Jewel, can you go hit that back door and y'all make sure that you encourage her today? Give somebody a hug. Tell them it's good to see you. God bless you guys. Have a great week in the Lord.